Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. A few minutes past 3 p.m. Let's do Stairway to Kevin.
All right, so we got a lot of different ways that we can go with this one, but I wanted to bring up a couple things. But one, because this story is just, it's wild, but it's also, I think there may be a lesson in all of this, too. So you guys saw the movie, or at least know about the movie Cocaine Bear, right?
Yes.
Did you guys see it?
No.
I did not.
I didn't either, but it was based.
I feel like I got the gist.
Yeah, right. Bear gets cocaine, goes on a murder spree. I haven't seen it, but that's my understanding of it. But it was based on a real story, not that a bear went on a murder spree, but actually a bear died because a smuggler jumped out of a plane. He was trying to carry cocaine. He dropped some. The bear ate it. The bear died. And then that was kind of the origin story that they built off of to build this horror movie that they did. But actual scientists in real life have discovered cocaine sharks.
Oh, no.
In the water off Brazil. And, I mean, they pulled 13 of them out to study. All 13 have signs in their bodies, in their bloodstream, in their muscles of having digested cocaine. And they have no idea what it means, how it affects them, or you know, what if it's changing any behaviors. They're studying all that. But it just made me think, like, sharks in the wild in the giant-ass ocean have exposure to enough cocaine that you can measure it in their bodies. And they don't think that this was the case where it was somebody dropped a brick and they ate it. They think that this might be like from a waterway, from an area where they're producing cocaine.
Oh, okay.
And it got into the water, or there's some kind of drainage that they're using in their facility. And it's crazy. Like, you hear that term and everybody's like, ooh, cocaine sharks. There's probably a joke in there. And I thought the same thing. And I clicked on it, read it, and I'm like, this is terrible. This is terrible. Like, that's an impact that can be measured right now in the world. And that's just one thing that's not that big of a deal. I don't know why, but the magnitude of the ocean just freaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
When you're thinking of something like this, like, how big of a problem does it have to be that you can just grab 13 sharks off the coast of Brazil and every one of them has this, which means all of the other fish and sharks and everything else in that area probably have the same thing. And we don't know if it's going to be like, if it alters behavior, if it ruins fishing. I don't think we have any idea on that stuff. But think about that one thing having that big of an impact in that big of an environment. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to make of it. You know, we hear about the plastic island that's floating around the ocean. We know about all these other things that have impacts. And does it feel too big to even be like, yep, we can do something about that?
Yes. That's the thing.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of that. And that brought me, I was thinking about that in addition to this idea of the war on drugs. Is that even a thing that can be real? I mean, as I said, it's a great idea, right? We want to stop terrible things from coming in that are hurting people, that are costing people their lives, that are leading to violent actions within gangs and with cartels in Mexico and in South America. But is that even a thing you can win? Because really, isn't it about essentially wellness, like mental health, like how people are living? Because people have always needed something to alter reality, whether it's wine or marijuana, and I mean historically, not just in modern times. Yeah. There's always been something that alters the mind.
Yeah, there was the first guy that picked up a frog and licked it.
Right, right. And probably by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And then was like, oh, wow, that made me feel a certain way, and decided I'm going to do that again. But like, there's always been that need in human history for people to alter their minds. And there's always the danger that comes along with that, with addiction, with bad behaviors, sometimes violent behaviors or DUIs. I mean, like, there's a lot of terrible things that come in. But it started with this story of these I don't want to say stupid sharks, but this seemingly small scale discovery that, man, this human action has led to another species being impacted. We don't know how much or in what way, but we can measure it. And then I'm starting to grow from there. I'm like thinking, well, dang, think about that, how big the ocean is and how much there must be going in some area that it's affecting a whole group. And then I kept growing that thought to, there are so many big things that just can't be controlled. We can try, we act like we can, we make policy like we can change it, but are you able to change the entire human existence, like the human condition as it has been since the dawn of humans? Can you do that? Is it even a reasonable thing to talk about? I don't know why it seems like such a weird Jeff Spicoli kind of thing to bring up. But like, it feels like a lot of things we're talking about that we talk about simply and basic, like, yeah, we can fix that. Probably can't.
Two things. I don't think that it is a function of modern humans.
No.
I would imagine that if you went all the way back, they were manipulating their environment to the extent that they could.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
They weren't thinking like, we should probably not cut down all these trees.
Right.
Or we shouldn't pee in the pond or
right.
whatever it happens to be. It's just that now man and machine have met so that we can truly have an impact on the planet. And it goes way beyond climate change. If you're a climate change denier, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, we got cocaine sharks. We have microplastics in every guy's semen. We have really, really impressively, sadly made such an impact on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I want to paint it, even though I know I'm talking about negative things, there are also positive things.
Sure.
That human species has come up. But I think the question I'm trying to, the way I'm trying to frame it is this just what humans are wired to be? And is it why we are what we are? That we are just able to do things and we do them and they have allowed us to advance because we have this, I don't want to say instinct, that's not the right word, but we've been wired for survival. And our way of surviving wasn't being the biggest, fastest, strongest species out there. Our way of being wired was we are problem solvers. We are able somehow as we've come along, we've been able to figure out all kinds of problems, right? Well, it's getting cold. Guess what? We're going to find animal furs and we're going to adapt and we're going to build shelters, things that other species were not able to do. You know, if some other species, they either had to move to a place that fit what they were capable of or they adapted to that over time. But that meant a lot of those species, a lot of the members of that species dying off, while certain ones survive because they had these adaptations, where we have been able to get to the point where we can change the world around us to fit what we need, which
yes.
is really a special thing when you think
yes.
about it. What other species on the planet has that?
No. Correct.
So it's kind of like a double-edged sword, right? Like there, we have the downsides, we have the negatives, but can we change what we are? Can a tiger change what it is? We have consciousness. We have the ability to ask these questions. I don't know if other species do. But does that mean that even if we understand that and we want to, that we are we able to, over 7 billion people, change that?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I mean,
yeah.
I know it's
yeah.
a really big question. But I find it fascinating because we pose solutions to problems as if they're simple. Right? I mean, like, again, I use the war on drugs as an example.
Just pause there for a second. What a great point. We're facing such incalculable, gigantic things, and then we have politicians who just kind of throw out memes.
You just do this.
Yeah.
The just do this thing is one of the things that irritates me probably as much as anything. Not just politics. People do that in sports, too, right? Oh, the Cardinals, just do this. You'll fix the Cardinals. Like, really? Because it's not that easy. It's not like you can just call another team and like, we want the thing that you have that we don't have and we don't want to give you anything we don't want to give up. Well, good luck. Good luck with that. And when I'm thinking about it globally, we can control to a degree us, to a degree. But as we see, we don't even agree on what it, us is at this point. How do we control China and what they think they are and what they want to do and how they see all of these things and how do we can? And even if you take nations out of it, there are seven or 8 billion people?
8 billion
people, all of them with different capabilities, different views, different experiences in the world. How do you get them all to say, you know what we really need to do? We need to do this.
And I think your analogy to the drug war is a really good one because I'm not involved in the drug war, but my sense of it is, so the only thing that would end the drug wars is if the demand stopped.
Yes.
If for some reason
right.
humans stopped wanting to get wide,
yes.
which is not going to happen. And I'm going to guess that the drug lords could probably go toe-to-toe with Bezos or Elon Musk. They're very, very intelligent
and things
people.
Along those things.
Yes, they know how to do their business. You plug this hole, they're gonna open a hole over here. It doesn't mean can't win, don't try. The same way that if you have ants in your house or cockroaches, you don't just let them have it. You
right,
fight
right.
them and you keep pounding them back and they keep coming back. But yeah, we're facing a lot of difficult things.
Yeah, and it's it Sometimes I'm
here's the thing, too. How long do you think we've had cocaine sharks? We haven't had cocaine sharks for 500 years.
No.
We've had them for maybe 50, maybe 20.
Right, right.
You know?
Because the only way that production, it's kind of getting to what your point was about man and machine coming together, right? Our ability to do things on a large scale very quickly is very recent, right? It's less than 100 years that we could do things like this on a scale where it could impact a species of sharks in the ocean.
Yeah.
Right? You couldn't do that 100 years ago. Not very likely. I mean, I guess you could if it was like if you were set up right on the beach or if you were set up very close to that part of the ocean. But when you're able to scale up in quantities and speed and amount of distance that you can cover, it changes the game. And that's why I wonder why we often, even though I think when we talk about these things, we can see the complexity of it and the difficulty of a problem. Why do you think we fall into the just do this thing? All we have to do is this and we'll fix this problem. And the reality is there's no chance that any simple solution fixes a complex problem.
I think the simple answer is that we are an animal that doesn't like uncertainty and we'll take fake certainty over real uncertainty every time.
Yeah.
We do it in our personal lives.
That's a fair
lives.
Point, yeah.
You know, we do it in our personal lives. Oh, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do that. When we're facing very, very difficult, textured, complicated situations in marriages, with kids, with our job, with ourselves, and we have a tendency of like, it's going to be okay, even if it may not, or you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring her flowers. Well, it's a good start.
Right. Because it's funny because this ties into a lot of my things tie into sports because I've done it for so long. But for so long, I always hear this mentality. It's the tie into just do this is the no excuses, right? No excuses. Well, if I point that to you in your personal life and say, well, why aren't you a billionaire? No excuses. Just do this.
Yeah.
Just do what Elon did. But because the point is, in your own life, you grasp that it's not that simple. But then when we zoom out, we always think it's simple. And it's such a weird phenomenon.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guilty of it, too. This is not pointing fingers at anybody else.
It's
I think
a human
we all
trait.
Right. We all fall into that. And then when you zoom out from a simple story and the further out you zoom, you realize, wow, there's a lot there. There's no just do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back, guys. DGS. We have Dave Murray coming up. He has some explaining to do. We had some rain there.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, he covered himself. He's like, hey, it's summer. We can have a pop-up shower. What a job.
Hey, you can just say anything.
Yeah, you just tag every forecast with,
yeah.
And it might rain. It's possible.
If I came on every day and I'm like, assume I said something funny.
Yeah.
Insert funny thing here.
Maybe I'll say a funny thing. I don't know. And then you just get credit for it.
Can't believe we're good enough friends with Dave Murray that we can give him crap.
I know. I'm like, we've been giving him a lot of crap lately.
Yeah.
We need to pump the brakes a little.
I feel like he's my big brother, and I'm touching him in the backseat.
Yeah.
Quit touching me.
Are you?
You quit touching me.
Smack. This is what my little brothers do to me. Come up and smack me and run.
How long did that last?
Not very long.
Oh, by the way, you know me. I'm the opposite of a prankster. I tried pulling one on Wheeler. It was the biggest womp womp ever.
What happened?
So a few weeks ago, Ranji, Wheeler takes his QT cup out there and he sets it on the counter
and he goes
to the bathroom.
Right, right.
And Ranji moved it and he went ape.
Oh, I lost.
Yeah,
I was so mad.
I remember
mad.
How mad he was.
But what got me was I looked in the trash and there was a QT cup right there and I thought it was mine.
So I walk out there to get some ice in my drink, and he's in the bathroom, and his cup's there, and I'm like, so I just put it around the corner. His ass comes walking out of the bathroom, walks right around the corner, picks it up, and he's like, nice try.
Yeah, but only because Ranji did it to me. Because he put it in the same spot you did.
Really?
Yes, that's where I found it. So that's what he... That's why it worked.
Pranks didn't work. Don't get along.
If you had put it somewhere else and I didn't see it there, I probably would have lost it just like I did the other time.
Should have put it on the elevator, sent it for a ride.
I would have been like, oh my God!
Send it up to 22.
Somebody threw away my drink.
Put it on Becky's desk.
I can't believe it.
Want some fun facts?
Yes. Sure.
What year do you think the first fantasy football league started?
Oh, 1985.
1962.
Wow.
62.
They even have football back then?
Not the American football.
Yeah.
Graham crackers were invented by an evangelical minister named Sylvester Graham. Anyone want to guess why?
I don't know.
He was hungry?
Because he wanted some crackers?
He believed that grains were the key to suppressing people's sexual appetites.
I knew it was going to be
really?
That, but I didn't want to say it.
Well, he made a good product.
S'mores.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If it weren't for that guy's puritanical views, we wouldn't have s'mores.
Yeah, you know?
Does anyone ever eat graham crackers outside of s'mores?
Oh, yeah. You put some peanut butter on a graham cracker?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The graham crackers with the cinnamon on them, those are the best.
Graham crackers are like the only snack that I have at home for some reason.
You know what they're really good with? They're really good with cake frosting.
They are.
The only snack you have at home.
I know. That's why I need to keep actual snacks at home because that's what leads me to spend like $40 on ice cream delivery or whatever.
How's your libido?
Terrible.
DGS on KMOX. If you're listening on 1120 and you're anywhere along the 4044 corridor between the Mississippi and the Missouri, 98.7 FM sounds really good. And if you want, if you're an audiophile and you like perfect digital sound, just download the Odyssey app. I listen to Total Information AM all the time, and I'm driving over to see my mom, and it sounds perfect. So you can do that as well. Thank you to all of our podcasters. We have something like 6 million downloads since we've been on KMOX, which is unheard of, literally. And it's all because of you. I don't do a single thing except we do the show and we put it out there and you guys consume it. So thank you for that. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
What do you mean you don't do a single thing? You do the show. That's why people listen.
The whole crew.
Dave,
we had a delightful little downpour a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, there's been these little pop storms. The focus has been right along the Mississippi River and in St. Louis City, St. Louis County in particular. Not much left. The atmosphere seems to be resting a bit, but there's still a chance of a pop-up thunderstorm. Let's say up to about 8:30, 9 o'clock, sun goes down, they all fade away. A pretty nice evening overall. Wednesday, it's the same pattern, though. I still think Wednesday is the hottest day of the week, only by a couple of degrees, 90 for the high. Again, a chance of a couple of pop-up thunderstorms in the afternoon. If you get under one, there'll be some downpours of rain. They're kind of slow moving. They fire up, they do their thing, they drop. There'll be a little bit of lightning, and then they move on. Thursday, same story, partly sunny, couple of spot afternoon storms, 87, and Friday, sunny and 87. Right now, no major changes as we go into the weekend, though I do think we'll probably start to warm up a little bit next week, but I don't see extreme heat. I don't see extreme humidity.
Dave, a couple questions. I know it's still summer, obviously. We have the dog days coming up.
Sure.
We have August to get through. It can even be hot in October. But we've been kind of spoiled with this 85 to 90 degrees. Is there anything in particular that makes you think, get ready because we're probably going to be 99 again?
Yeah, I still think that on the summer forecast, we thought August would be the hottest month of the summer. I still like that idea.
And watching the storms blow through, and we watch them with great interest now, no kidding around, because of Cardinals baseball, and we didn't know if we're going to be in a rain delay and stuff like that. So we're watching like the future cast. Why does it seem that the southern areas of our listening, viewing area get hit so much harder?
A couple of reasons. One is, in order to get some widespread thunderstorms, you need a good moist flow from the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. Closer you are to the Gulf, more storms you're going to see. Also, it has to do with the city. The city is a hot, dry environment. And so if you try to get storms around the city and to the north and to the east, and we're talking really tight around the city, about 50 miles, that tends to kill storms, but keeps them alive well east into Illinois and well south.
Interesting. It's so fascinating to me. I don't think I would have had the aptitude to do what you do. The math doesn't math for me, but I'm fascinated by the weather. When I go to Keystone, my buddy Scott, who owns the place, I keep noticing that there's almost, it's sort of like Florida. In the afternoons, you'll see a storm, but it never comes across the mountain. And he was saying how, some of these mountain ranges are big enough that it stops the storms kind of in their path.
They get stuck. They get stuck in the mountains. They rain out and then they die. It is the Rocky Mountains are a fascinating weather study because of what you just said. There are times fronts get stuck, thunderstorms get stuck, wild temperature swings because of the Chinook winds coming downslope. And there's just a lot of neat stuff that goes on out in the Rockies.
Does Janice share, obviously she supports you, but does she share your interest?
Well, not to my, nobody, I don't think, has my extreme interest. I'm a little bizarre. But she, yeah, she's into weather. My son is into weather. In fact, after we were dating for a while, she said, you know, when I was a little kid, I used to play in the backyard on my swing and just watch the clouds all afternoon.
Yeah.
So I guess we were meant for each other.
I feel really lucky growing up where I did, because looking south, it was a 500-acre farm. And it was like living in Montana or Wyoming. You could see everything. And we had a wheat field. And I would go out and make a crop circle before there were crop circles and just watch the storms blow through.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. What, you know, if you have a good expanse on the horizon, it's always neat. The other thing that happens since where you grew up is the refineries will tend to produce cumulus clouds before anything else in the area.
Wow.
And it happens, you know, like most areas might see the cumulus clouds pop, let's say noontime, 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon. Around the refineries, they start popping about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning.
I just learned something about my life.
There you
really
go.
Really interesting. Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, we talked about this a little earlier in the show, but it bears repeating. The Secret Service director has resigned after the Trump assassination attempt. Kimberly Cheadle resigned today. She spent all day yesterday in congressional hearings getting the Riot Act read to her.
That was pretty rough.
Yeah.
And she didn't have any good answers for anyone.
You know what? I doubt that was her call.
Right.
It could have been. Yeah. I mean, she's the head of the Secret Service. Maybe it was her call. But I saw what's-his-face, the guy that's on CNN all the time, that was the deputy director, McCabe, is that his name, of the FBI. Mm. And he was saying, you know, it's become a default answer that while there's an ongoing investigation, we can't answer anything. He's like, that's really not strictly true. Because everything that they asked her, she said, well, the FBI is looking into that. I can't really get into it. So unsatisfying. I mean, you know you're going to get beat up when you're given those kinds of answers.
Yeah, and again, when you're in a position of leadership, it doesn't necessarily matter if you made the specific call. You're the boss.
Yeah.
You're in charge.
That's
you're in charge of hiring the people below
being
you.
In charge is.
That's exactly right.
And, Rach, I think you said it yesterday in the office, there should be a standing rule that when a president gets shot in the head, you should resign.
Yeah, I think that's...
I agree.
That's a pretty easy one to
that's
me.
That's a fair rule.
My favorite was when they said to her, do you know what happened to the director of the Secret Service when Reagan was shot? And she was like, he continued to do his duty and serve faithfully. And they go, no, he resigned.
He resigned.
He quit.
As he should.
As he should have. Because your like number one job is to prevent the president from getting shot.
Yeah, this hearing was a weirdly unifying thing for the country.
Right?
Republican social media users are surprised to find that they, quote, actually agree with AOC after she ripped into the head of the Secret Service over the failed assassination attempt. She called it unacceptable and, you know, just had a lot of great sound bites talking about how this will not stand. And she got people on the right to even agree with AOC. So
do you think that for the would-be assassins out there, that this emboldens them to think this 20-year-old loser took a bicycle and a ladder and hit the president on the side of the face? I can do better than that. Or do you think that now they figure, well, that's the last time anyone's going to get close?
I think probably the second one.
Hope so.
I would hope that. But I mean, we've had experiences with other things like that, right? Where you're like, seemingly simple people with no training or experience have pulled off terrible things.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what 9/11 was. And, you know, we all, there, those things can happen. But I would think now would be the last time that there's going to be a hole.
Yeah.
Or at least for a time period of time, right? The holes always come after some time passes and people relax. Right now, I would imagine there's high alert.
The House of Representatives is expected to vote this week on establishing a bipartisan commission to study the attempted assassination of former President Trump. The investigative panel would be comprised of 5 Democrats and 6 Republicans. George Clooney says Biden is, quote, saving democracy by stepping aside. I don't know about that. I feel like we use really strong
language. Get a little hyperbolic.
A little bit. But he said President Biden has shown what true leadership is. He's saving democracy once again. We're all so excited to do whatever we can to support Vice President Harris in her historic quest.
I wonder if Joe will be going to any barbecues at the Clooney Mansion.
I don't
I'm going to guess not.
You know? This whole thing really accelerated with that letter. But I don't think the letter caused it. I think that letter was a sign that it was happening.
Yeah, I think.
You know what I mean?
I think George Clooney was probably like, fine, I'll be the one to do it.
Right.
But there was plenty of chatter going on before that. Yeah. A new poll is examining the way Democrats feel about President Biden stepping aside as the party's nominee. And according to an NBC poll, they are reacting positively. The data shows Democrats are much likelier to say their chances of beating Trump have gotten better, though about 3 in 10 says it depends on who the nominee is. Both men and women Democrats think the party's chances have improved, but it's Democratic men who are especially likely to say so. Let's see here. We don't want to do that story. Donald Trump is trying to make a change to the second scheduled presidential debate after President Joe Biden announced his withdrawal on Sunday. In a post on Truth Social, Trump wrote, "Now that Joe has, not surprisingly, quit the race, I think the debate with whomever the radical left Democrats choose should be held on Fox News rather than very biased ABC."
I can't believe he's going to do it. He can only lose.
Right.
He beat up on Biden so badly. He came out of that, even though I don't think he was very good in it. He was the clear winner because he was fighting a guy that couldn't raise his arms. But at this point, if he would demolish Kamala Harris, okay, big deal. You're supposed to. But if he loses to her, like if we talked about how Donald Trump has that weird kind of tell that when you, and he even did this with Biden a couple of times, when Biden really sucked it up and hit him with something, when you really hit Donald Trump, he does that weird smile where he doesn't show his teeth. He doesn't really come back at it. If Kamala can keep that sort of energy that she's had. Like, did you hear that sick burn she had yesterday where she said, as a prosecutor, I dealt with people who were sexual predators. I dealt with people who defrauded the community. So I know Donald Trump's type. That's pretty brutal and pretty strong. If she can do that, she could possibly win the debate. I hope they debate. I think they owe it to us to debate. But if I'm Donald Trump, I'm going to try to avoid it.
Does it look, though, if he says no, does it look like he's ducking her?
Yeah, but none of his people care.
Well, but none of his people are going to accept if he loses anyway.
Yeah.
It's definitely much more about convincible voters rather than anybody that's automatically voting Harris, automatically voting Trump. Do you look like you're ducking someone to those people?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
So. I don't know. I'm saying that that's the counter.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right, we got Cardinals baseball coming your way in a little bit. We'll be done just after 4:30, so the first pitch tonight coming up at 5:40. That means 4:45 for the pregame. After the top of the hour, though, in the lead-up to what we have left on DGS, we've got our think tank. So we've got Ray Hartman in studio. He's running for the 2nd Congressional District against Ann Wagner coming up this November. Kurt Barr, the Director of Elections in St. Charles County, also going to be in for the think tank. So we'll have a good conversation with those two coming up after the top of the hour news. And then right after that, we jump into Cardinals baseball here on KMOX.